Let's pray. Lord, our God, we just thank you for gathering us once more into thy presence, that we might again be reminded of the instructions that we have given to the disciples. So that, Lord, whatever lessons that they have learned, we will be made willing and be humble before thee for the much needed lessons that we need to have in proclaiming the good year, the acceptable good year of the Lord. And thank you that this is a time to reflect upon this great instruction that we need to learn. Help us to be submissive to thy will. Help us to be also to rededicate our minds and our hearts and our soul and our energies for the completion of thy great plan and purposes for our lives, to be made useful and make known the great gospel of the saving grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So teach us again to be humble. May our spirit convict each one of us as a lesson that needs to be practiced, to be followed with humility and with constant persevering practice. Thank you, Lord. Forgive us for our many sins. We have failed you on these lessons that we need to learn. And thank you for the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that can wash away our sins. In God's name, peace. Amen. We have heard the reading a while ago in Luke chapter 4, wherein we heard and seen the summary of the total vision and purpose of our Lord Jesus Christ in coming into the land of Israel, into this, and for that matter, into this world, which is encapsulated in verse 18 of chapter 4 of Luke, which says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." And so immediately after this, we go back to the reading in Matthew chapter 9, which starts in verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." You see how the Lord Jesus passionately fulfilled that focus of his old vision in verse 18 that I just repeatedly read before you. So that when Jesus came to Nazareth, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. We read a passage from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, which I read in verse 18 of Luke chapter 4, and declared that this passage was being fulfilled in the day in which they were living. This was a bold declaration of his messiahship. So that in verse 36, which I have just read, Jesus was overwhelmed with compassionate pity for the people. His response echoes the deep inner mercy of God in his heart and his various response to various needs of people in which he came to minister unto. Often described in the Old Testament, so that in verse 37 and 38, Jesus looked at the crowds following and referred to them as a field ripe for harvest. Many people are ready to give their lives to Christ. Only if someone would show them how. And in this text in Matthew chapter 9, from verse 35 to 38, we will learn those lessons and how we should be applying them in the days of small things in our day. So again, to repeat, in this chapter 9 of Matthew, we also look at the attitudes of the disciples in direct contrast to the Lord Jesus' attitude is made very clear. Jesus goes to every city and every village he can, teaching and preaching and healing people of their various diseases and sicknesses. Why? Why he came to do this? Well, first of all, in verse 35, because, and 36, he had compassion on them. And Jesus went all about the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. That's the establishment of that first point, that Jesus was our Lord, was moved with compassion. He never missed anyone who are in various forms of need, physical, emotional, spiritual needs. Seeing sinners at their worst, this our Lord Jesus Christ did not make our Lord Jesus Christ recoil in horror without any action, but it moved him with such compassion in his inner soul and inner being. And that should actually should be a reflection of what we need to learn tonight. That when we see people in at their worst time of need, we will not just look at them without doing any action. When we look at people like the Lord Jesus, look at them. People really need the only hope that they can have, that they cannot find, that they can, that no one explain, but need someone to show them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we really see them as the Lord Jesus? So the deepest spiritual need of people, it doesn't take that easy to see the longings of the heart, spiritual heart of people. It takes the heart of Christ, the love of Christ, his compassionate pity to the lost. How many Christians, if they are in our days, especially those who are called to do that, the Spirit of the Lord, to preach the gospel and to meet These people are spiritually blind and set them free from the burden of sin. Well, it is sad that not a lot of people, not a lot of servants do this. They encounter a lot of various needs, like our Lord Jesus did, meet those needs with compassion. But it takes to see how the Lord Jesus was moved with compassion. We can see probably people in the street, like we come to the various stores and shops, big shops, and we purchase our daily needs. Do we see, or even the people in the train? People are busy. I've been observing this as well. People are busy, especially in the busy morning. They are looking on their phone. Yes? And they don't care what's happening around them. People are all looking at their phone, which means to say that people are just looking on their own interests. But praise God, because I'm getting old and other people older than me, some people are so observant upon people who need to sit and relax their legs, especially with walking problem. But there are a few people who are like that, but I praise God there are people who are actually willing to give up their seats. We don't see a lot of this nowadays, but praise God there are a lot of remnant people who probably are being taught in their homes, whose parents have been established in the Word of God and in the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, to serve Him and to have compassion on other people. Do we see our fellow workers, perhaps Christians who are working in an environment where they are not believers? Do you feel what they are facing as individual? Do we observe them as the Lord Jesus observed people and move with compassion? This is not easy to do. It takes a spiritual eyes, the compassionate love of Christ. As born again believers, we cannot do this if we are not born again believers. Because without the Spirit of Christ, we cannot learn what Christ has done for various people he ministered to in Israel. We will never be moved with compassion if we do not learn to really see the lost like the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the lost with compassion. He was moved with him. He didn't just see them in their condition, but he was moved. He felt deep in his heart how he needed to respond to them, how he needed to bring them into the kingdom of God. That is what we read in verse 18 of Luke. To heal the brokenhearted, to bring sight to the spiritual blind, to heal all various diseases, and to meet all various spiritual needs. We will never be moved again if we don't see this deeper compassion, compassionate pity of our Lord Jesus Christ when he was directly involved with his disciples, teaching them, modeling the kind of compassion and love for the lost people. Moved with compassion is one word in Greek which means as it can be sometimes a tongue twisting moment, which is, I'll try to express this in Greek, is plagnizomai, which means in English, have pity, have compassion, to be deeply moved like the Lord Jesus. Deeply moved, to be affected deeply in one's inner being. This is naturally being felt by natural men. Unless you are born again and deeply ongoing and walking with the Lord Jesus, this will not happen. But this is the example that the Lord Jesus would like to model with his disciples and for us as well as his adopted children into the kingdom of God. This inner being, this compassionate pity felt by the Lord Jesus Christ in his inner being is characterized by his sympathy, empathy, bringing oneself into the shoes of other people, and move with compassion. Our Lord Jesus, as we have seen in verse 36, he saw the multitude. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You see how the Lord Jesus was moved with compassion, with pity for the lost, that it has a physical effect on him, emotional effect on him as well, and mental anguish as well. He feels it down deep inside of him. We could put it like this. When Jesus looked at lost people, he cared so deeply that it affected him emotionally and physically. When was the last time any of us were moved like that over someone who needs Jesus? We hear a lot of prayer requests in our prayer devotions, in our prayer time, but how do we move with such moving compassion to other people? Unless that moving compassion, compassionate pity of Christ, we cannot do that in our own strength. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need the example, constantly learning this from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this is a challenge. It is a challenge, really, isn't it? This is the difference between having a bigger church. I know that there are bigger churches sometimes just because of some healing or some other benefits that people would like to have. But this is not what the Lord Jesus is trying to impress upon us. He is impressing upon us as disciples to be moved with compassion, pity, love for those people. That's why the question is raised, when was the last time that we have seen someone who is the Lord Jesus? It's easy to pray, to give tracts and talk about some verses, but unless the moving of the inner love of Christ and his compassionate spirit in him is deepened in our inner being, we cannot do that. That's why we need to ask him to help us do that. Secondly, we see here that the understanding of the lost condition of the sinners in verse 36b, because he not only saw the multitude and moved him with compassion on them, but because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You see, that is the situation, that is the environment in which the Lord Jesus saw the real needs of people. He's not just looking at their needs, but he was well continually with such physical and emotional and mental inner urge to meet those needs, because they were weary and scattered like sheep without no shepherd. Again, as the verse goes, that the Lord Jesus not only moved with compassion, because we see here for two reasons. They are weary and scattered. What does that indicate? Well, the Lord Jesus understood that very well. Jesus saw the multitude. He didn't just look at them. He saw them with understanding. He knows how they go through in their lives. Looking at the eyes of various people in the train, you can see most of them, if you are observant, some people are not happy, some people are so serious, some people are just excited to talk about things in their lives, but they still need the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes people look happy outward, but inside, they are lost. They long for such meaning, fulfillment in life. The world cannot give that. So that we should learn how the Lord Jesus saw the needs of people. He saw them with the feeling of understanding. He saw them how they go through in their individual lives and their struggles and their various pain and sorrows. We must also learn to see the loss, to look past beyond the surface to what's going on underneath in their lives. Why? Because beneath the rage, the hurt, the anger, the behavior that we disagree with other people as well, people in our neighborhood who are so noisy, who are so annoying in many ways, and people we are sitting with in the train and in the bus are annoying. How do we react to them? Do we react with understanding how they go through so that it will drive us to share our hope in Christ? People are weary, lonely, and in desperate need of rescue. That's how Jesus looked at the people he ministered unto. Life without Christ is life without purpose. And we all experience that as believers before coming to Christ. Life without Christ is without purpose. And a life without purpose is very exhausting. It's very tiring. Even though people are driving to gain more money, more prestige, more power on the surface, maybe they are happy, they are contented, but inward, they are not happy. You see the promise of the Lord Jesus? I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. That's the deeper understanding and bringing hope to people when we bring Christ to people's needs. Perhaps it's not just directly pointing them to Christ. We might, probably the Lord Jesus will use us to meet some needs of people. They need action. People who are weary has the idea behind them of being on the verge of collapse in their lives. People are desperate. You can see the people being portrayed in the news. Even people at war. We are now on the brink of world war. What are these world leaders who are unbelievers, who are communistic, atheistic in the core values of their lives? They want to control people. They're desperate to control weak people and weaker nations. And it's because the love of sin, the love of the things of this world, which does not fully satisfy the longing of people's heart, leaders with that longing. People are practically searching for these things, purpose and meaning in life, so that when they cannot find it, they feel themselves desperate. They are on the edge of collapse, almost breaking down. And we can see a lot of people nowadays on the street, on the news that we hear, because they end their life because they cannot find the longings of their heart. They can easily just end their lives. It's good that I can recall someone whose wife left him, a doctor, and he went to the hotel in Manila, and in his testimony, he's almost to jump from that highest point of the hotel. But our friend in the Philippines, in Baguio City, which we had fellowship with his pastor, was sent down to find this man in Manila. And he found him about to jump, and he stopped him, and he brought him on his knees to pray together. And he recognized him as a pastor. And he prayed that the Lord will bring wholeness in the mind of this man. And in short, this man was brought on his knees on what the Lord Jesus is compassionate on every man's needs, especially when their lives are collapsing. This man lost his hospital and lost almost everything. But when he was brought back to faith in his most desperate need, he became a doctor that ministers to various needs in various countries, and also in the Philippines. So many people have various longings and desires in their lives. The only answer of that longing is the promise of the love of Christ and the abundant life he promised to those who believe in him. Their quest has taken them far from one another. In other words, even in families, wives and husbands are on the brink of collapse, separating, because they don't have Christ in their hearts. The message of this world that many gurus, many caterers, many what do you call them, therapists, advisors, counselors, it doesn't work because it comes from the human perspective, human views. The world is saying, take care of yourselves, and the world will take care of you. That's not true, is it? This kind of perspective from the world has caused many to push others away because they want to claim for more and more things in their lives just to meet what they want to do and do what they like to do. They enrich themselves at the expense of other people, and yet they end up still not happy. So with this perspective, as the Lord was moved with compassion, like sheep without a shepherd, these people, they wander in search of greener pastures. When they finally look up, they find themselves all alone, tired and hopeless. What do they need? They need to hear the shepherd who loves them. They need you and me as believers in Jesus Christ to lovingly and carefully introduce them to the good shepherd. We need to understand that sinners need a savior. Sinners need people, Christian people, who are passionate in caring for the needs of others because of the truths and lessons that the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples. And also tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ would like us to see that model, to be instilled in our individual hearts. To understand people are lost, what they are going through, to come alongside them and show them where hope can be found. An effective harvest of souls is also echoed in verse 38 to 30, 37 to 38. So that this example of being moved with compassion was also connected in the Lord Jesus, who said, "Then said unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." So you see, all the disciples are gone, but they left lessons written in the Gospels and even in the various letters that the Apostle Paul and various apostles and disciples of the apostle taught them the lifestyle and the love of Christ and his compassionate love to other people. As people who respond to this great need of praying for harvest, so that the need for laborers will be supplied in this day of small things, we see the Lord Jesus look at and the crowd and refer to them as a field ripe with harvest. Many people are ready to give their lives to Christ if someone would only show them how to do it. We are only effective harvesters of souls as prayed for our Lord Jesus Christ by the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples. As we reach out with understanding, we must feel that compassion. If we don't have it, it's not too late to have it. And to ask the Lord Jesus to really be moved with concern and love and compassion to the lost. We see how Peter, the Apostle Peter, failed the Lord three times. And the Lord reminded him by asking, "Peter, do you really love me?" Three times the Lord asked that question to feed his sheep and to feed the lamb. And finally, in the letters of Peter, he also became an encourager to us Christians, to those people in the first church of Jerusalem that even died upside down as a criminal in the hands of the Romans. But that kind of dedication needs to be reflected on what the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples. As concerned people, that the Lord will give the laborers in the harvest time, in these days of small things, we need to share the hope that we found in the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to hear, the lost need to hear that God loves them so much, that he made a way for them to have a fellowship with him. And the answer to that is Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Trust in him, and you find the peace and the value of the soul that we once were, that need that kind of hope and love of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to pray to the Lord Jesus that he will implant that compassionate pity for the people who we are called to minister. We need to have that attitude of the harvester who pray to the Lord of harvest to bring laborers in his vineyard. That means having compassion and being understanding on how the people goes through in their individual lives. And to that effect, again, you must be encouraged in what the Lord Jesus prayed in Luke chapter 4. He says, may this spirit as well be in our prayer. That the spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. What a privilege to hear the Lord Jesus preaching this way. It's also a privilege for us to hear what he did, to see what he did. And he wants us, as he wanted his disciples, to be like him. May this week and this moment as well will bring in our inner being the passion that the Lord Jesus Christ had for the lost. He did have real compassion. And I said a while ago, this is not easy to do, but it's not too late. You can still ask the Lord to help us. And may all these words of encouragement be our portion for the rest of our lives. To God be the glory, great things he has done. And we'll continue to do if we surrender and dedicate our talents, our minds, mental energy, our resources, our time, and also the time that the Lord Jesus to see deeper into the inner being of other people's need. That is what it takes, the love of Christ and his compassionate love for others. Amen.
Amen.